You're listening to Doing Time with Ron Kuby on AirAmerica.com.
Welcome back. You're doing time with Ron Kuby. Been a long time since I heard the Moody Blues do that particular number. Long life. Chris, you don't even remember the Moody Blues, let alone Timothy Leary.
Well, I know the one Moody Blues song, Nights in White Satin. Yeah. Everyone knows that one.
I remember one time when I was in college, I went through a big Dave Matthews Band phase. I was a fan of theirs, and I was waiting outside for tickets back before you got tickets on the internet. And it was all these like college kids waiting for Dave Matthews tickets, and this one couple that... The guy looked kind of like you, except bald on top, and his wife in their, like, old tie-dye shirts that had seen, like, one too many concerts, and they're like, what are all you crazy kids here for? We're like, Dave Matthews, what are you here for? And they're like, we're here to get tickets for the Moody's.
Yeah, okay.
I'm like, the Moody's?
Well, yeah, I never call them the Moody's, but this
album... I guess you're not hardcore.
The idea behind this album, which is called In Search of the Lost Chord, is the album itself is a trip. It's a journey, a musical journey that you go through that only becomes meaningful to you if you happen to be doing acid at the time.
I thought that was called the Ron Kuby story.
Which none of us happen to be doing right now because we're doing a radio show. Now, we bring you this, dare I say it, acid flashback, because the archives of Dr. Timothy Leary are being digitized and placed on the net for all to find and to search and to discover all kinds of things we didn't know about Timothy Leary. And joining us is Dennis Berry, the trustee for the estate of Dr. Timothy Leary. Thank you for being with us today.
Oh, hi, Ron. Thanks for inviting me.
For those of us who are either too young or were too stoned to remember...
I don't think you could be too stoned to remember Dr. Leary.
Well, that's right. I'm just giving a shout out to them, too. Tell us very briefly who he was and why he matters.
Well, Dr. Leary was a prominent psychologist in the 50s. In fact, had written a definitive textbook on psychology then and was invited to be a Harvard professor in the psychology department. And while teaching at Harvard, he went on a trip to Mexico in 1960, and his good friend Ralph Barron introduced him to magical mushrooms.
Yeah, psilocybin mushrooms.
Psilocybin mushrooms,
right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he had been feeling like therapy, you know, treating people therapeutically, he was frustrated with the results. And this experience with psilocybin totally changed his life, and so he immediately thought about how he could use it in his work and research as far as the substance helping to decondition and recondition or re-imprint people's brains.
So that was pretty cool. So
yeah.
How did he go from psilocybin mushrooms to LSD?
Well, they used psilocybin pills for a couple of years, and then in at Harvard when they were doing their studies. And then in 1962, someone came from England and introduced Tim to LSD, and he thought it was more powerful. And then
he was right about that. Yeah, got that right. That's why he was a Harvard professor.
Cool. And it also was easier to get, and so that was kind of how they made that switch to LSD.
And he...
It was also legal at the time, by the way.
Right, yes, Sandoz, I think it was, if I'm remembering this correctly.
Yes, Sandoz was the manufacturer.
Yeah, hey, that's right. And then Dr. Owsley in California started manufacturing it in various colors, shapes.
Yeah, we get it, Ron. You did acid. Okay?
No, I'm not.
We believe you.
Okay, because I know some history. You think I participated in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can talk about the Bible, too. I wasn't there when Jesus was. Thank you. Yeah.
He's been in the archives.
Right? Yeah. So then Dr. Leary, he follows this amazing arc and becomes a counterculture hero. Tune in, turn on, and drop out was his phrase. Thousands of Americans are taking acid, including, unfortunately, Art Linkletter's daughter, who had a particularly bad trip and went crashing through a window.
But we don't know if that was due to acid or maybe...
Art Linkletter, right.
Problems.
Yeah, could have been.
Yeah.
And then he ends up getting arrested and imprisoned. And what happens then?
Well, when after he was in prison, he actually took a test that he had written for the prison system here in California, which said whether or not you would go to minimum or maximum security. And of course, having written the test, he took it so that he was put in a minimum security prison, and he was able to escape. And
with the help of the Weather Underground, working with the Black Panther Party.
With the Weather Underground, and then went to Algeria, where the Black Panthers were, and stayed with them for a little while before going to Switzerland.
Now probably the sad part of this story, at least many Americans won't consider it the sad, I consider it the sad part, was he when he returned and was re-imprisoned, he actually began to collaborate with the FBI, named a bunch of names of the people who helped him escape, although I don't think any prosecutions resulted from those.
As far as I know, no prosecutions resulted from it, no. It is sad, but I have to say, if I was facing 20 years in prison, I might cooperate a little bit. Who knows what we would do in that situation.
Yeah, well, he made it very clear in the FBI court, in the FBI 302, when he said, look, I'm cooperating because it's the fastest way to get out of prison. At least he didn't, sort of tiptoe around. I'm cooperating because I've discovered that America is the greatest country in the world or anything like that. Right. So tell me about the archive. What is it?
Well, Tim, as a scientist, was a record keeper. And basically, in essence, what he did, I mean, he started way before he was at Harvard, but what he did was basically he was the record keeper for the psychedelic movement. So what we have in the archives...
It's a hard thing to do since I couldn't even find my way home half the time. Right? he was keeping records. Cool.
He was keeping records, boxes. In fact, his archivist, Mike Horowitz, told me that somehow when he fled to Europe after his escape and ended up in Switzerland, he actually had Michael come over and pick up 8 boxes of archives in Switzerland. So we don't know how he did that, but yeah, I think he also really felt like what they were doing was really important and should be documented, and so he was actually the documentarian for the psychedelic movement. He has letters in the archives. We have letters from everyone, from Aldous Huxley, Alan Watts, Albert Hoffman. Really, historically, this really tells you what happened. It's not a he said, she said kind of thing. You can actually read their correspondence to one another. Funny, funny letters from Abby Hoffman when Abby was in prison, he and Tim corresponding when they were in prison. It's an incredible collection, mainly of it's Tim's archives, and it has all of kind of his life history, but for sure it's the real history of that psychedelic movement.
And if we want to access this archive, what's the website? Or what's the web number, to use Joe Biden terminology?
TimothyLearyArchives.org is our website. We're actually in the process of starting to digitize his papers. We have all of the videos digitized. Most of the photographs are done. We have his books that are accessible. And we're housing them on archive.org, which is Brewster Kahle's Internet Archive.
All right, Dennis Berry, if I am able to remember this after the end of the show, I will check out the website, which, again, I forgot it already, is...
It's really easy. TimothyLearyArchives.org.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today and spending some time reliving those wonderful years of the past. We took all those drugs, we had a great time, and they're all gone, and you kids don't get any of them anymore.
See, you admitted it. You did it.
You're doing time with Ron Kubi. God, I never would have guessed. We'll be back.
You're doing time with Ron Kubi.
Kubi wants to hear from you. Call him now at 866-303-2270.